The year was 2000. He'd been with the Paras then, on a short deployment to help the local boys. He'd joined the Paras the previous year and was finding his feet as a 20-year-old second lieutenant. The Provisional IRA had laid down their arms 2 years earlier, in keeping with the Good Friday Agreement, the culmination of the Northern Ireland peace process. But there were still plenty of hard men who considered the fight far from over. Acting on a tip-off, two patrols, one Paras, the other SAS, had torn off in a high-mileage Ford Sierra deep into bandit country. The anonymous source had said they'd find a missing officer from the Northern Ireland Police Service, the renamed but still equally reviled Royal Ulster Constabulary. They arrived at the farm 30 minutes later and, assault rifles cocked and held across their bodies, crept towards the barn where the captive was being held. Gabriel arrived first, wrenched the red-painted barn door open, and moved inside. What he saw and smelled would never leave him. The RUC officer had been dismembered, and his body parts left in a huge pool of his own blood, blackened and congealed now, and swarming with fat blue bottles. He staggered out into the rain, yelling for help, then lurched over to a wall where he retched until his stomach was empty and cramping. And now, here he was again, smelling blood, but under the nuclear heat of the Texan sun instead of the grey rain of Northern Ireland. He looked across the flat land, maintaining his focus on the area just a few meters in front of him. He swiveled his head slowly from left to right and back again. Nothing. Staying prone, he rotated his body through 45 degrees and tried again. Despite his intentions to stay focused on the place where Vinny might have fallen, the view of the distant mountains was too beautiful to resist. He lifted his head a little to take in their misty, purple-grey serrations. Between his current position and the range of peaks, nothing but empty desert. Above him, a buzzard soared on a thermal. He scowled. Gabriel Wolfe loved birds of prey, except for the species now wheeling directly overhead. One had landed on Smudge's shoulder after his makeshift crucifixion by Mozambican rebels and commenced eating his brain through the bullet hole in the back of his skull. He shook his head to dispel the image and returned to his search for another dead comrade. What he was looking for, in detail, he couldn't say. Beyond the idea of a body-shaped crater, he hadn't spent any time figuring out what that might look like in reality. As he scanned the glittering crust in front of him, he began to notice smaller and smaller elements of the picture. A large, black ant dragging a dead beetle towards a dime-sized hole. A triangle of mica flakes, twinkling like diamonds. A cactus spine, detached from its parent plant and now resting on the sand like a miniature yellow javelin. No, Wolf, too close. Widen out. But he couldn't. The heat was too intense and he was feeling dehydrated as the sweat poured off him, only to be evaporated instantly in the super dry air. With a grunt of effort, he heaved himself into a squatting position. He was about to stand when he heard the sound that had signaled death for many hundreds of men, women, and children before him.